Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbontoni. We've got a story on the unwritten rules of baseball. Are there any unwritten rules of PTI?
I'm Tony Kornheiser. Just one. Don't touch the talent.
I'm with that. Hey, whoa, watch out.
Don't touch the talent.
Man. Tiny, what the heart wants, the heart wants.
Don't touch the talent.
We got to increase security on the set. When I come back, I don't want to see any hands coming out of nowhere.
Came out at the wrong side. I couldn't hit him with the right hand, the Thunder and the Lightning. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. On ESPN2.
What the deuce?
Can I tell you? In today's episode, draft surprises, NBA upsets, and an apology from Tiger Woods. But we begin with the surprise pick of the NFL draft, Tim Tebow going 25th to the Broncos. That is ahead of Colt McCoy and ahead of Jimmy Clausen, both of whom are not yet drafted. Broncos coach Josh McDaniels says he loves Tebow's work ethic, leadership, and versatility. Tebow says his mindset is to repay McDaniels for believing in him. Do you believe in this pick, Wilbon?
No, Tony, but other than some obvious things, if you were drafting Troy Aikman with the first pick, I don't believe either way in any of these picks. I don't think it means anything yet. It means something when people get on the field and you find out whether or not they can play. And I don't even think that means preseason. But for Tebow, this clearly was something of an upset. I learned of this pick this morning in breaking news because I didn't watch any of the draft.
Everybody knows, but you don't watch.
But this is fine. He went in the first round. I thought he would go in the second or third round. Good for him. It means more money. Doesn't mean he's going to make the team. Doesn't mean he's going to be a star. Doesn't mean he's going to be a bust. Doesn't mean anything.
I don't know if I agree with the pick. I'll wait and see if he can throw a 20-yard out, but I think I can explain the pick. Josh McDaniels is a very young coach out of Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick would make this kind of pick. McDaniels wants to make this kind of pick. He's got, in his first year, he had to get rid of a quarterback who was a diva. He had to get rid of a great wide receiver who's a diva. Tim Tebow is not a diva. And I think that there's a comfort level for McDaniels. But what if the onions on McDaniels? Look at these moves in one full year of being a coach. Drafting a guy who nobody thought would go in the first and getting rid of Cutler and Marshall.
And all that means nothing if you don't win, because you're going to have onions in
the
employment line. You've been back on a TV
set. That's right. You got to make sure your owner backs you and that you can win with this.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun today means nothing come the first or
but
second week of
September.
But don't
you find yourself, like me, rooting for Tebow? Don't you think he's worth rooting for?
I think he's very much earned that, Tony.
Yes.
But whether or not it's going to happen?
Don't know.
We got a long way to go before we find that out.
Don't know.
Let's move to a sport actually in season where they played games last night. Chicago Bulls nipped the Cleveland Cavaliers in Chicago like neither of us thought they would. After the game, get this, Tony, LeBron James said the Cavaliers lacked energy and a sense of urgency, and said Shaq knows he has to pick up his play. Tony, could you actually see this series, now 2-1, going back to Cleveland tied 2-2?
No, I mean, I don't think it's going to be tied. I would point out the Cavaliers were down 21 at one point and made a real game of it. But it points out to me the flaw that I see in the Cavaliers. They depend too heavily on LeBron James.
Well, LeBron had 39 and 10 last night. He had a great. So it's not like LeBron had a 26-point game. But Mo Williams, they weren't standing around, Tony. Mo Williams had a big game last night.
That's 103 points in three games for LeBron. That's almost 35 points a game. If that's your strategy, that he's got to bail you out for you to win, that's not going to work all the way down the line.
You know, there were some interesting things in this game last night that you can't see if you're watching a draft. For instance, LeBron James saying, I'm going to take Derrick Rose. And Derrick Rose,
how'd that work out?
3 out of 4 times, went right around LeBron James or shot over him. Now, LeBron got him to shoot an air ball once, but 3 out of the 4 possessions, you go, wow. But, Tony,
what about the Shaq deal? Why do they care about Shaq on Joakim Noah?
Well,
they want him on Dwight Howard.
But, Tony, Noah's got like 13 and 15 boards the last
two
games.
But he's not a shooter.
No, but they need somebody to – you can't have Noah getting every rebound down the stretch. You might want to play J.J. Hickson some if you're Mike Brown, because J.J. Hickson's a good player. They haven't used him, athletic.
I wouldn't know. I watched the draft.
The top
seed in the West also got dinged last night. The Lakers fell to the Thunder in Oklahoma City in a game that featured the surprising and successful matchup of Kevin Durant guarding Kobe Bryant. Wilbon, everyone knows Durant is a great offensive player. But if he's going to play impressive defense and grab 19 rebounds like he did last night, could the Lakers actually be in some trouble?
A little bit, Tone. A little bit. That team is so athletic. And as you know, championship teams can suddenly look old. I'm not suggesting that's the case for the Lakers.
Okay.
But, you know, I mean, we saw this with Miami a few years ago, and they got swept out of the first round, actually. But, look, Phil Jackson is the guy who gets paid to come up with some counter moves and figure out ways to free up Kobe Bryant. But it didn't happen last night. Tony, the thing is, Durant is so freakishly athletic and long. He blocked Kobe's shot. He redirected a pass. I mean, he won a fourth quarter battle with Kobe Bryant. Do I expect that to happen again? I don't know, but it doesn't have to because they're not so dependent. Russell Westbrook, the Lakers have no chance of guarding him. Not in this series, maybe not forever. They can't guard
him. If it happens again and repeatedly, it's a game changer. Kevin Durant is young enough that he may actually care about playing for his team and not playing for himself.
That's right.
And he can guard Kobe Bryant. Kobe said he was surprised by it. Looked like he was a little upset by it, too. In the fourth quarter, Kobe Bryant was 2-for-10 when Durant was on him, and Durant had 12 points of his own. Now, I don't think the Lakers were going to lose this thing. But this is Kevin Durant getting one step closer to greatness. Last time we saw this, a guy like this, Michael Jordan, who said, okay, put me on their star.
Yeah.
You don't expect this to happen.
Tony, real quickly, what do you think of Kobe with 29 shots in a game when you've got Gasol and Bynum? Does that suggest something to you that needs to be corrected?
That happens every playoff series, at least one game, and we talk about it in the same light all the time.
David Stern was on hand for that Oklahoma City win last night, and he had a little edge to him. Stern told reporters before the game that ref baiting that coaches like Phil Jackson engage in is corrosive and destroys fan confidence in the sport. He added he wishes he had suspended Phil and Pat Riley years ago, and had this to say to everybody in the NBA today, quote, if someone wants to try me in the rest of these playoffs, make my day, close quote. Tone, is this a productive way for the commissioner to address the officiating issue?
So he said, make my day. So it's like a pint-sized Clint Eastwood at that point. You know, I mean, he's had 26 years, to get this right. He could have thrown these guys out a long time
That's
ago.
That's what he was saying.
A $35,000 fine for a guy who makes $10 million is nothing. So go ahead. So suspend them. Suspend them if it's corrosive.
Now, he says he's going to a game check, and he'll go to a month check
Good.
After that.
You know, I believe in that. $1 million fines.
So you think this is the way to do this? Do you think that at this point, since the genie's been long out of the bottle,
right,
that fans, that David Stern wants to sort of clutch close to his bosom, you think they're all of a good and sudden, if he suspends, the coach is going to say everything's fine with the refs?
I'm tired of this, Mike. I'm tired of David Stern always saying, I wanted to do this, but my hands were tied. By whom? You're the commissioner. You can do what you want. Like Roger Goodell did what he want.
Right.
The owners give you the power to do what you want. Don't tell me you wish you'd done this a long time ago. Then do it now. Let's do it now.
Apparently he's going to.
Good.
Clint Eastwood.
Good. Clint Eastwood's 80 now. Let's now take a dip into the unwritten rules of baseball. It seems Oakland A's pitcher Dallas Braden is upset with one Mr. Alex Rodriguez for running across the pitcher's mound after a foul ball yesterday. Said Mr. Braden, quote, if I've got the ball in my hand and I'm on the mound, that's my mound, unquote. Said Mr. Rodriguez, quote, I was a little surprised. I'd never quite heard that, especially from a guy that has a handful of wins in his career, unquote. Wilbon, is it in fact Mr. Braden's mound?
Well, I've never seen this.
Nor have I played
8 or 9 years of baseball and have watched for 50.
Not over the mound.
I've never seen this. But let me just say this, Tone, to cut to the chase on Braden. You don't tell a burglar, oh, if you break into my house again, I'm going to take you out. Why didn't he take him out? Don't talk later. The guy walked right through your crib.
Right.
Why didn't you take him out when you had the chance?
I think the next time they play, if Mr. Braden is serious, he can stick one in Alex Rodriguez's ear.
That's cheap.
But his
take him out. Be a man.
His entire
fist.
Record, he's got 17 wins and 28 losses, something like that. So I'm a little surprised he said it, and I've never seen it. And I would suggest to you that if Derek Jeter had done that, or Albert Pujols had done that, or Joe Mauer, he wouldn't have said a thing about it.
Yeah, but as he points out, they don't do that.
Well, why did Alex Rodriguez
do that? I don't know.
That?
I've never seen
He's
this done.
He's such a diva.
Maybe you and I are forgetting. We're old.
I've seen them. They go behind
the mound
and
the
between
mound.
Second base and the mound.
Yes, I don't remember in
them.
My whole life no. ever seeing. I certainly never did it. You don't, Little League, Pony League, high school, never did it. But again, don't talk later. The guy came through your kitchen and you did nothing. So shut up.
Let's take a break, but coming up, Peter King on Tim Tebow's rise and Jimmy Clausen's fall.
And later, Tiger Woods apologizes for his bad language to the Masters, but did he need to?
Yeah, sure. Everybody made a big... Let's get back into the NFL draft with a man who's about as far away from it as he can be. Joining us from Seattle, courtesy of Sports Illustrated and NBC, it's our good friend Peter King. Let's start with Jimmy Clausen. Peter, you called him. How did he take falling out of the first round completely?
I think he was crushed, as anybody would be, when you've got some people telling you, you know, who might pick you, hey, we like you better than Sam Bradford, and you don't get picked. It's a pretty crushing blow. And I mean, I feel for the kid. I think he's a little bit of a victim of a whisper campaign, Tony. And all I know is when I watch tape of this guy, you got a guy who plays with two ligaments torn in his foot. And he played through the season last year, played valiantly. And is he a guy who everybody wants to go out and have a beer with? Not necessarily. But I think that this was a big mistake by NFL teams, many of whom will live to regret it when he's beaten them in a few years.
Well, Peter, why then would Denver pick Tim Tebow ahead of Clawson?
Because Josh McDaniels basically fell in love with Tim Tebow, spent 7 hours with him on Monday, had spent time with him before, Michael, but flew to Gainesville with their general manager, Brian Zanders, on Monday. Couldn't get enough of Tebow. 7 hours with him, gets on the board, and was so impressed that his offense is totally different from the offense that Tebow ran at Florida. And yet halfway through the conversation he's having with him, Tebow is translating it into Denver's terms, from Florida's terms. So he just thought he was a quick read, quick study, and is going to be a great guy to lead his team. Now, obviously, a lot of people in the NFL feel he won't be. And so a lot of people think he reached. This is a situation where, you know, Josh McDaniels has picked his guy. And, you know, if it doesn't work out, I expect that McDaniels is not going to be the coach of the Broncos in 3 or 4 years.
Wow.
And Tebow probably won't be there either. This is the pick for Josh McDaniels.
With all the talk about Tebow and all the talk about Clawson, Sam Bradford's basically forgotten. You know, are the Rams convinced they've got a sure thing in Sam Bradford?
Tony, the Rams had to draft not only a quarterback, they had to draft a billboard. And, you know, this franchise, it's a rudderless ship. It doesn't have any player that anybody identifies with. And they were convinced that no matter what the trade offers or trade feelers were, that they weren't going to trade this guy once they determined, or trade this pick, once they determined that Sam Bradford is going to be the guy. Now, I don't know if he's going to start week one, week five, week nine, but whenever he is ready, he'll start. And I assume it probably will be week one for the Rams.
On the other side of this, TV ratings up. I mean, I'm sure the reaction from the league has got to be this is a good thing. Could they extend this even further in some sort of way to take advantage of primetime television?
Well, I don't know how you can do much better than the first round in a neatly TV packaged time of a little over 3 hours. It was perfect for TV. That ended right around the time for the 11 o'clock news back on the East Coast. The NFL couldn't have asked for anything better. You're starting it at 7:30 with a red carpet stuff and ending it at 11. It's the perfect, it fits perfectly in that primetime window. So I'd be very surprised if they didn't do this again next year. I think the one thing they might want to tweak, though, is every time when ESPN and NFL Network, they see somebody over there in the green room or whatever on the phone, they assume they're on the phone with a team. So they're giving away the drama before every pick ends. And I don't know if they could or should change that. But I know that, you know, I've heard from people all day, hey, stop giving away the drama before it really happens.
We'll get you out of here on this. Tebow and Clawson are the big stories today. But one of the big stories going into the draft was Ben Roethlisberger. Were the Steelers ever really going to trade Ben Roethlisberger?
I don't believe so unless they were absolutely blown away with an offer that they would have even considered it, Tony, and I'll tell you why. You know, on Thursday, on the day of the draft, I talked to two teams in the top half of the first round, both of whom arguably you could say had quarterback needs. The Steelers are one of the most thorough, smart organizations in football. The Steelers had not contacted either one of these teams, nor had either of these teams called the Steelers about Roethlisberger. That's why, in my opinion, this was a scare tactic to scare Ben Roethlisberger straight, to basically say to him, hey, look, if you don't straighten out your act, we're trading you to Oakland.
Thank you so much for joining
Thank
us,
you, Peter,
as always.
All right, guys.
We're taking a break. When we come back, what's the word for bear-hugging Roger Goodell?
And Blazers fans booing their banged-up team, fair or foul?
Were they on the court?
Kind of.
Yeah. Were people paying money?
They paid money.
Okay.
We know that.
Okay.
They were kind of on the court, Tone.
Yeah.
They were sort of out.
It's time to rain the vocabulary all over Wilbon's medulla oblongata. Word up, reality, what's first?
You watched the draft last night, Tone. Giving Roger Goodell a bear hug after you get drafted is blank.
It's priceless.
Mm.
When else are you going to have the opportunity to do that? The next time Roger Goodell meets you, he may be in the act of suspending you. It's not going to work out for you. This was a captivating moment. First by McCoy and then by Williams. It was wonderful, wonderful to watch.
It's jocular. I mean, this is where, you know, I see these beer commercials now and they're calling it the bro hug and whatever else they call this thing. I mean, this is pretty much started in locker rooms. I mean, go back maybe, I don't know, close to 20 years. And got, well, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, because I saw Magic Johnson do this with David Stern. And as you know, Tony, there's a slight height disparity.
Yes, there is.
But it's jocular, no question. And now the whole society does it.
That must have made Stern's day back then. What's next?
Portland fans booing the Blazers at the end of the first half last night is blank.
It's consumerism. Okay, these are very expensive tickets for the playoffs. They're hundreds of dollars. You steal a game in Phoenix, you come back for the first playoff game, you're down 29 at the half. 29? The consumers are rightly agitated.
Yeah, but they are not consumers only, exclusively, usually. I would put this fan base up there, Tony, with the Green Bay Packers and the San Antonio Spurs and Sacramento. They don't boo. This is what they got. This is all they got. They don't have nine teams like New York, you know. So I'm going to say it's unthinkable. This probably the best, most loyal fan base in the NBA. And I heard that booing because I was watching that game live. Unbelievable.
Next.
The Penguins should be blank about not closing out the Senators last night.
They should be rueful. They should be full of rue. It's a combination of shame and stupidity. They were up by a goal with 9 minutes to go at home to close out the series. Now they got a game six in Ottawa, and they face the possibility of having to come back to win in Pittsburgh, where they have now lost twice. They should be kicking themselves.
Yep, they should be fidgety. That's what they should be. Because they've got to go play game six on the road. That's a game you're thinking the defending champions are going to close out. Now, they've won game sevens
on the road.
They've won on the road to clinch the cup. So they've got that confidence, but still fidgety for goofing up, throwing away that opportunity, Tony.
Next.
Tiger's apology on his website for the salty language at the Masters is blank.
It's evergreen. Because it's going to happen again and again and again and again. He always curses on a tee box. He's done this for years. I know he's trying not to do it, but he's going to fail more often than he succeeds until we get a little bit down the road and he heeds the words of Tom Watson. It's evergreen.
It's uncalled for because he doesn't need to do it. All right. And if I could, if I see Tiger again, I'd like to introduce him to some new swear words. Some of my favorites. Tone, I know you are familiar with some of those words because you have tried to get me to chill out on the tee box usually as well as Tiger. Maybe the only thing we have in common, uncalled for. Keep them coming. Four letters, baby. I love it.
That's it. Kornheiser, victorious and notorious. Korntorious. Time for a break, but on the way, an NHL 2 seed bites the dust early.
And the Dallas Cowboys pick up a talented receiver with off-the-field question marks. Where have I heard this one before?
You've heard it more than once.
I think
Dallas.
So. Yeah, I think
more than once.
Korntorious. Korntorious.
Like that. Happy time, people. Happy 20th birthday, Dev Patel. He was the lead actor in the Academy Award-winning Slumdog Millionaire of 2 years ago. And as life imitates art, he continues to date the lead actress in that movie, 25-year-old beauty Frida Pinto. Wilbon, I know you love her.
How can you not love Frida Pinto? And there's not enough of her on U.S. television. There ought to be movies rushed in production in this country to give us some more Frida Pinto.
Happy anniversary, Stephen Curry. On this day last year, you declared yourself eligible for the NBA draft. Curry reportedly kept his decision from his dad and from his coach until 30 minutes before the news conference. Looks like a good move now, doesn't it? As Curry could wind up as the NBA Rookie of the Year.
Tony, he's won Rookie of the Month in the NBA for 3 of the last 4 months. I know Tyreek Evans was great, but he had a rush at the end.
Happy trails to the New Jersey Devils, the number 2 seed in the East, eliminated in 5 games by the Flyers. This means there is officially no chance of Crosby versus Ovechkin in the second round, since the Flyers will play the top-seeded Caps if the Caps advance. Now the first time Crosby and Ovechkin could match up is in the conference finals, which would be great.
Those two ought to match up as late as possible. They play in the same conference, so they can't be in the finals. Conference finals is good.
Trying to find out where we messed up reality.
I love how Wilbon is still trying to make sense of this Rookie of the Year race. You voted a week ago, and now you're changing your mind again. This is like the fourth time you did this.
Can't let go.
Tone, you got Dallas Braden's career record wrong. It's 17-21. This year, he's 3-0, and he won yesterday's game, so he let his pitching doing the talking. And how did you omit that foul that Noah had on LeBron James last night, Wilbon?
What foul?
The elbow to the throat.
That's just good, hard playoff basketball.
Shout-outs, Wilbon. Who are you shouting out to tonight?
Yesterday, I shouted out to the Blackhawks and said, score some goals. Well, they listened. Three of them last night to even that series 2-2 by winning in Nashville.
I'm going to shout out to our dear friend David Remnick, editor of The New Yorker now, on the publication and great reviews of his book about Barack Obama, The Bridge. Pretty good for a guy who started out covering the USFL. We're taking a break. There's more PTI to come, including a Mikhail Prokhorov update.
We're back in a few minutes. Until then, let's toss it up to SportsCenter.
Good night, Canada. Sports writers winning Pulitzers for news writing.
This is how...
Welcome back to the PTI program. Okay, Wilbon, do you see Tim Tebow as a legitimate first-round pick?
I don't think so, Tony, and there are a couple of reasons for me. I mean, to me, a first-round pick, regardless of position, ought to be a starter. I mean,
a quarterback?
Yeah, yes.
Really?
Yes, then
throw
don't take him.
Throw him in there, get him killed?
Don't take him. I mean, I look at the Denver Broncos situation. They got Kyle Orton, who's a starting quarterback in the NFL.
Serviceable quarterback.
Serviceable is a good word. They got Brady Quinn, who's so far been fairly close to a bust.
Yes, somewhere
between disappointment to a bust.
Right.
And now they have Tim Tebow. Now, here's why I say I think so. If Josh McDaniel can figure out a way to get him on the field at whatever position, H-back, you know, wildcat, whatever it is, and you wind up getting him on the field, then maybe it won't be a bad pick. But if you're just wishing and hoping, and I think there are some times where even NFL executives and coaches do this because you like a guy, that's not good enough.
Yeah, I think it's a move straight out of Bill Belichick, and Josh McDaniels is straight out of Bill Belichick, where you get creative with somebody, you see what else they can do, what other positions they can play, and you believe in talent, and you want to see that talent maxed out. I understand this from McDaniel's point of view. As his first-year coach last year, Jay Cutler, a diva, said, trade me. Brandon Marshall, a diva, said, trade me. And so the two best offensive players he had are gone. He's going to take a guy who he thinks is a big-time character guy, and he's going to roll with it. And that's what he's done. He staked himself to Tim Tebow.
But you better get him on the field when you spend the number one.
1 minute left. Let's go to the big finish.
Let's do it.
Cowboys are giving Dez Bryant number 88. Is that okay?
No. Michael Irvin wore it. Michael Irvin is a Hall of Fame player. Get that number off the field. Heat Celtics, game 3 tonight. Is Miami going to get a win, Tom?
I didn't think the Thunder would. I didn't think the Bulls would, so I've been wrong twice. So I say Miami will. Ozzie Guillen, embarrassed by the White Sox play. Your thoughts?
I think the White Sox get to their best when Ozzie rattles the cage a little bit, and it's time for that. David Stern says there is a fair chance Mikhail Prokhorov will be at the draft lottery for the Nets. You excited about that?
I'm excited about who he brings with him to the draft lottery, what the after party looks like. Lorena Ochoa will play in one more tournament before she retires. You think she'll win?
That tournament's in her native Mexico, is it not?
I think
she will win. The Bruins and Capitals both have closeout games tonight. Will each get it done?
The Caps will. I put my turban on. I don't see the other. It's cloudy. Last one, Mavs at Spurs, game 3 tonight. Who you got?
Tony, you know I've been saying the Spurs are going to win this series. It'll be a great long series. Spurs win tonight, game 3 at home.
Out of time. We will try to do better the next time. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Have a great weekend, knuckleheads. Check out the PTI podcast on iTunes. Let's go back to Bristol.
A-Rod, get off the mound. Go to your room.